All right, saints, we have a follow-up time, as usual. We can comment or share our thoughts about what the Lord is speaking to us in terms of this message. Lori, you go right ahead.
Well, this just was so reminiscent of how we began years and years and years ago, you know, around the taking of the land, and when you taught from Joshua, right?
And the Pentateuch, yeah.
And so it was very, very wonderful, very meaningful. But this really stood out to me, this sentence that says, he was talking about how the church has either declined, fallen back or away, or stood still, you know, in the matter of overcoming and and taking the land. And then he says, he still has territory. Okay, and so there arises the whole question of the overcomers. And this statement right here, the overcomer company or body is that which will go on and satisfy the Lord in the whole matter of his full thought. And I just so appreciated the fact that it's about the Lord's satisfaction, not ours.
Mm.
You know, that because why? I know that you all, when you took your DID journey, you would say to Doug and I that if it was just about you and your life, it wouldn't have been worth it. You just stay divided and learn to live in the presenter and do pretty good. But the very fact was that you knew that it was a matter of satisfying the Lord and of allowing him to gain that place of inheritance in you. So, again, just the reminder that this is about the Lord's satisfaction, that we go on to the end, no matter what it costs, for our Lord's satisfaction.
Yeah. That's good.
That there is a way that we can really satisfy his heart. Yes, he loves us unconditionally. Yes, everything is, you know, all ready for us to be in his presence forever. But the very purpose in his heart, his very eternal purpose, was to have many sons in glory.
Yeah.
Sons. And Doug and I are reading this new posting that Brother Sparks wrote, and it's all about, and this last chapter we read was on sonship, which is overcoming.
Yeah.
That not, you know, we're all children of God by faith in Christ, but we're not all sons.
Well, so, I'm just correct that we are sons in terms of our position, but the full meaning of sonship, according to Vine's dictionary, is emphasis on character and destiny. So we're all sons of God by faith in Jesus, but in terms of being the adoption, the full placement of sons, that is what we're seeking to come into fullness. Go ahead, Lori.
Right, and even Sparks, you know, he qualifies that.
Yeah.
He said we're potentially sons in the meaning of the Roman adoption, you know.
Yeah.
He that in that article is wonderful. But anyway, and then another after that one, that really blessed me as a reminder. But then when he goes on and ends with the Word of God, that we give heed unto the Word. And if he says it, we do it. And I was thinking about, and I think I was sharing with you, Addie, about the little book that I just read. It's a missionary book, and can't remember her name, Shelton, something Shelton. I'd never heard of her before. And the book is on her mission, her missionary years with the Balangaos in the Philippines.
Hmm.
And it's so neat because, you know, their whole life, their whole generational upbringing is that they must obey the spirits. So they come into the Christian life already knowing all about obedience. And so this one old lady that was a medium, she was a channeler. She was the one that the spirits, one of the ones that the spirits, you know, dictated through and channeled through. And so, but she really did come to the true and living God, but she forgot his name. So she said to this missionary, she says, now remind me again of the name of the one that we have chosen to obey.
That's wonderful.
And so then this missionary went on to say, to explain that these dear people, to them, faith was tantamount to obeying. So, she was there to translate especially, I think, the New Testament. I mean, she may have done the whole Word of God, but I think it was the New Testament. It took her like 20 years, and she worked with the people to do it. But if, after there was a certain portion of the Word written in their language, and they would read it, they would do it. I mean to tell you, every meal that she ate with this one family that adopted her, this precious man, he said, "You are my daughter." So she would go and have her meals there. And she always was the one to pray. Always the one to thank the Lord before each meal. Well, they had just finished translating. Was it Timothy, Doug? I want the men in every
place. Yes, 1 Timothy 2, yeah.
And so she started praying, and he had helped her translate it. And he had seen that verse that it's the men who are to pray. And so he interrupted her when she was praying for the meal and said, just a minute, I'm going to pray from here on out because the Word of God says that it's to be the men who pray. So in seeing this obedience to the Word of God, it's not like that these dear little people in the Philippines ever saw it as an option. And no matter what it cost them, whether it was renouncing the spirits, getting rid of the paraphernalia, whatever, if they saw it was from the Word of God, they did it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very wonderful, especially in this generation that is so emotional, that is so feely-feely, you know. It's like it the Lord's really made it easier for us to just simply obey His Word. And it isn't about legalism either, which, again, is another way that Satan has come in to really try to intercept our faith obedience, you know. So anyway, I just really loved this whole chapter. Yeah. It was excellent.
Yeah, I like what they said. For them, faith is obedience. If there's not obedience, it's not genuine faith. I mean, I think that's what I learned in China with the house churches there. For them, faith is doing the Word of God. If there's the Word and we're not doing it, they didn't consider that faith. Yeah. Anyone else have any thoughts or comments on what we read?
I like that part about the young man.
Yeah.
Where it talks about the youthfulness, and I don't think that means just young people, although I see that. You know, I think it's talking about that newness in Christ, and then over the years with so much teaching, and, you know, it can just become, well, we've heard it so many times. And so, like, I was thinking, for me, from little up, I grew up hearing the scriptures. I went to Christian school, we had Bible classes, we memorized scriptures, we went to Sunday school, we went to Bible school. And, you know, by the time you come into young adulthood and so forth, you've heard the scriptures over and over. So even though I'm young, there can be kind of a deadness there just from hearing it so many years. And then added to that, on the cult side of it, they also took the scriptures and wove that into every area of my life. So, you know, it's like, I kind of read that, and it really struck me because it's like, you know, it can get very absolutely dry, and, you know, and I've been thinking about that a lot recently with this paper that we're reading is it's like the Holy Spirit, Jesus through the Holy Spirit, comes to bring new life to old bones, old dry bones. And that can be true of an old person, old dry bones, and or a young person that's just been saturated where it's just become like, oh, well, whatever, I've heard it all before. And I just really personally have been crying out to the Lord for, I'm not looking for some, like, charismatic thing of some experience, but really new life into places that feel pretty dead sometimes. And I just, you know, I guess all I can think of is dry bones, but Jesus comes to give life no matter what age we are. And I am glad for youthfulness that we have here and young expressions and, you know, that we're not all just alike, we're not all just the same age. And we can learn from the young people can learn from us, but really it's the work of the Holy Spirit working into our lives, bringing life to what we hear, that it's not just a teaching, but how he can take this chapter that we're reading here tonight, and he can speak something into my heart that may be very unique to what he's speaking into another person's heart. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, good.
Any other thoughts, comments, and questions about the Holy Spirit being present, fully dedicated to bring us into our inheritance in Christ so that God gets his inheritance in us? In the measure in which Christ is formed in us, the Holy Spirit is committed to forming Christ in us, but he's only formed in who we are as the new man. He doesn't form Christ in the old man. He doesn't fix the old man. He doesn't bless the old man. The old man's crucified. And so whatever degree that is not, and it's a progressive thing, is that old man is put off and putting on the new. When he said put off the old and put on the new, and that's so wonderful about the complete green letters, because the whole message is God's way through various vessels and through various very mature believers to lead us into that place. Well, what does it mean to put off the old and put on the new? And so that as we put on the new, that is only the place where Christ is formed. And we're growing up into him with reference to all things. Nothing of the old on the other side of the cross grows. It's dead and crucified in God. So that's why it's so important for us to understand the ongoing, we pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. And so what about other people that are in captivity? Are we committed to see God obtain the riches of the glory of his inheritance in them? I can say this, that the only reason, the primary governing reason that I work with generational SRIDID is so God can obtain the riches of his glory of his inheritance in that person. It's not first and foremost so they can go free. Naturally, that's a blessing to see that as a byproduct. And, of course, God desires that. But my motive is 100%. What keeps me going in the darkness and the sheer raw nakedness of battle is this is about God receiving the riches of the glory of his inheritance and these people that have been ravaged and taken captive by Satan. So I live in a state of enragement against Hasatan for his arrogance and confront, take down, assault, and do everything that is necessary so that he's displaced and that person can discover through the Holy Spirit that their humanity, no matter what they did, that their humanity can be reclaimed for the possession and the inheritance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so all of you, you've had a big part of that history, and now we're seeing this really accelerate. We're seeing God advancing and claiming his inheritance, and many. We don't know what the convergence looks like, but as we're dealing with convergence issues right now,
on a corporate level, this whole Antichrist false prophet position in the body of Christ, this whole satanic throne, is the church is coming more and more in that place where God is getting his inheritance and these survivors. That's the vertical. And then as we pray in this crisis, that God would energize the church, the body of Christ, to be ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5, so the fullness of Gentiles would come into the body of Christ. So you have the vertical, the horizontal, growing up in him with reference to all things, the horizontal, the fullness of Gentiles coming in the body of Christ, and they are governed by God on a corporate level, and when they meet, they come into coalescence. The rapture will occur. The last Gentile comes in, the church corporately finally attains, in that overcomer status, the measure of stature, fullness of Christ, we're out of here. But that means in the process, if we've come into the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, that means that we've displaced principalities and powers that have never been displaced in the history of their existence. And they're entrenched. And you say, I'm not stopping until they're out. And I'm not going to let go of that person that God has assigned to my life until they're out. I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to do the will of God. Yeah. Any other thoughts, questions about what we read tonight?
I guess for myself, as we know, that's my recuperation after my knee surgery and after the drugs, that my mind is starting to think and not being all fogged up. But I just appreciate Todd, but as my desire, heart desire is that, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that I have a lot of fancy words or fancy things to do or to say, but, you know, the backstage is fine with me. And so it's for me, as I read these things, you know, there's, as the Lord continues, you know, greater capacity, because my mind can't even wrap around some of this stuff. But my desire the last few weeks here, as the Lord just kind of keeps cultivating through, is that my heart can be a representation of His heart in such a way that those people that I love, those people that I'm around, and even those in the workplace, and especially little Nikki, who's kind of got herself wrapped around my heart, and my desire is to see her. And I pray, she lets me pray with her at times, but you know, I'm using that just to ask the Lord that He can see, she would be able to see His love represented, and even those here. My wife and my men here in the assembly, they stand into the good of what His provision is. And I don't even always know how to pray or what to pray, but I just trust the Holy Spirit. And here, what the chapter two ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit. It was just kind of a renewal. Because I think I was getting to the place where you just kind of take it for granted. And the last while, I should say, and He, the Holy Spirit, I make it more personal. And it just seems to, and of course, I do a lot of my reading out loud, and praying, of course, out loud. And I do that because I found, it seems like anyway, maybe it's just my way of thinking, but that when it's out loud, all the satanic forces hear it.
That's good.
It's cleared out. He stays out of our apartment, and I'm able to sleep at night. Generally speaking, of course, my nights are kind of fitful. My fitful norm anymore, waking up at 3 and then sleeping till 6 or 5 and then rolling around some more. But and in between the times that the Lord impresses on me that there's something to pray for, and of course I do that. But it's just that's kind of the focus of happening, because like reading some of the stuff that we read here the last while, because of my background and because of the legalism in it, you got to do this, you got to spend so much time doing this, and you got to do that. And I keep, and that's something that the Lord has set me free of. But I find myself sometimes gravitating back to that again, like, you gotta do. And so there's kind of a fine line in between there that, at least for me, that the Lord has to keep me going so that I don't jump from one ditch to the other ditch. Mm-hmm. Find what that center line is for me in this time and space, and just trust in the Lord that He will guide my heart and just to be built up into His ongoing love, so that I can be into the greater good that of the Lord, as He said to Moses, that He is always going to be with us. He will not fail me. He will not forsake me. And that's a faith walk to believe that He can do that. And that which I need more of, that I don't need to try to figure it out, but He'll show me that. Mm-hmm. And it's, if there's more of the old Adam needs to be stripped off, He keeps doing that. Yeah. So that's kind of what's been happening for me, and actually even for some of this being home and not being able to go out to work. And of course, now that I could probably maybe start doing a little bit of work, there's none out there to be had right now for this old man, but that's fine with me. And so just trust in the Lord as He continues to direct and use this time to be built up in Christ. And I think it's even helping just to build up, learning what it means to be relational to my wife. That's something that I lacked in, and the Lord has been helping me in.
That's wonderful.
Along with other people helping with that.
That's great.
Like the young daughters that have had here.
Yeah.
Let's praise the Lord for that.
Yes. That's wonderful, Ivan. Thank you. That's just really a wonderful thing you've shared. And I think, too, that works is just Jesus in action. If God commands us to do something, He's saying, in the person of the Holy Spirit, as you depend on me, as you're abiding in me, and you walk out those commands, it's just Jesus being released. So we're new creations in Christ. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared when? In eternity past, that we should walk in them. And how do we walk in them? 1 John 2:6, we walk as He walked. And how did He walk? He says, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. I only do those things I see my Father doing. So the faith walk is allowing, it's a receiving, it's a faith that it is doing, but it's a faith that's first receiving. Colossians 2:6, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So we have to receive. And I know that when we're doing this work, if I step out and I begin to try to do anything that is not in abiding relationship with Him, things come to a grinding halt. And so the Lord keeps us in check. You know, we want to see results, we want to see fruit and that kind of thing. But if we come into the Father's rest in Jesus, I still am faced with that every day. Am I really operating out of the Father's rest in Jesus? And when I'm not, my wife is the first one to know. I mean, she's the first one to know. And then anybody else that's been with me for very long will know. Mark will know when I'm out, you know, and he is over there praying, especially when we're going in there and taking down these principalities. But if we're abiding in Him, the promise is He abides in us. So the complement of our abiding in Him, remaining in Him, in that abiding union, then by faith we know that He's abiding in us. And what is amazing, I just share this girl, Ashley, in Colorado Springs. You know, we're doing all this stuff that I do. She's been with a therapist 8 years. We've only been working for about 6 months. And what she shared today for the first 40 minutes, this unbelievable freedom she has. All this fear that she's had, even around her husband, it's gone. And, you know, she's just so zealous to continue whatever work there is, whatever I need to connect with, let's go for it. And so it's really amazing to see that if we are abiding in Him, you will bear much fruit. And that's what Jesus said in John 15. I want to just comment on the book that we're reading. Lori and I are reading. It's being posted now. It's called Life in the Unsearchable Riches of Christ. Again, Life in the Unsearchable Riches of Christ. These are transcribed messages given on July 19th through the 25th, 1966. And the spoken form is retained verbatim. So there's redundance. It's spoken form. It's not a book. And so right now, there's going to be 9 chapters, and there's 5 now. Chapter 1, increase spiritual capacity. Chapter 2, attaining increased spiritual capacity. So, Ivan, you mentioned that. 3, the riches of his grace. Wow. I sent that out here recently. I said, you'll never be the same when you read that. And chapter 4, the riches of his inheritance. And chapter 5, on sonship. So there's 4 chapters to go. And when I read this on sonship, I have never seen as clearly until I read this, the meaning of adoption, the adoption ceremony. He has got it. And I've never heard him describe it this way. So at this conference, you know who the speakers were? This is 1966. It's about 5 years before Sparks is promoted to glory. Guess who the speakers are? Mr. Sparks, DeVern Fromke, and Stephen Kong. So if you would like to attend a conference where Stephen Kong, Brother Sparks, and DeVern Fromke are speaking, it's only Mr. Sparks that's recorded, but he refers to these brothers. And what you see, the humility, you see the way in which God directed him. I would have loved to hear that entire message, and I think I'm going to look to see if I can't find it in the witness and testimony, to be able to be in a conference like that. It's 4 days. And so, so if you want to have a little taste of what that conference is like, well, at least you have the transcribed messages of Brother Sparks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Life in the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a conference. Wow. So we have this legacy that God has given us, and it's amazing. So I'll stop there. Anyone else have any thoughts or comments before we close?
The only thing I had thought... Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think he mentioned somewhere, was just about how the inheritance doesn't come without conflict. And so it's like every step is, there's conflict, or he's like, even though basically God has already won the battle, you still don't come into it all willy-nilly or something like that, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, yeah, because it's like it's done, maybe judicially, but experientially.
Yeah. Yeah, positionally, it's done. Yeah.
Yeah. What did I? Did I get it mixed up?
Judicially, that's true. That's a facet. That's true also. Yeah.
I see exactly what you're saying. So, like, positionally, but then that coming into it. I mean, there is conflict, and man, I wish there wasn't. Most times.
Do you get kind of grumpy sometimes?
I was today. I was ready to start hissing at people. I mean, like, really. I'm going to pull my cat and hiss at somebody.
There you go.
Or bat at them with my claws bared.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, Lord, but I mean, he's working for conflict.
Yeah. If we get knocked down, we don't stay down, we just get up. 2 Corinthians 4:7 and following, 4:7 through 10. Paul's our example, okay? All right.
I don't know if I was knocked down today, I was just hissing.
Okay, well, now you're singing.
People like this.
Okay.
I was waiting for Sally since 5:30 a.m. to get up so we could pray.
Yeah, good. That's funny. All right, Saints, anything else come to mind?
Are we going to meet tomorrow night, too?
Yes, we're going to finish it up tomorrow. Tomorrow night we'll finish this series, okay? That'll end our convocation.
Okay.
Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity you've had for us to consider these things that are so important to you. So may that which is most important to you as it comes to our riches of the glory of your inheritance in us and our gaining our full inheritance in Christ. May we continue to think your thoughts and pursue that which represents your goal for this one life that you've given us, so that when this life is over, we will have fought the good fight, we've finished the course, and kept the faith, like Paul said. Therefore, there will be laid up for us the victor's wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, awarded him, and he says, and not only to me only, but to all those who have loved his epiphany, his appearing. And we know that morning star had arisen in his heart. So we commit what we've heard to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.